So we left off the previous year, we were discussing this limud, which may or may not be an authentic deraisa limud, for the notion of shishim. So the Gemara told us that if you want to see an application of the number of shishim in the Chumash itself, you take a look at the parasha of El Nozir, where the Torah describes the cooking of the El Nozir, and part of the El Nozir, the Zeroa, is considered to be quote-unquote treif vis-a-vis the Yisrael, because it's Kodesh, so the Yisrael is not allowed to eat it. And nevertheless, the Torah says to cook the whole thing together, even though clearly some of the tam is spreading, it's a raya that we're not so concerned with that tam spreading, and the reason is because it's both of the shishim. The Gemara says that from here we derive the halacha that we're all familiar with. If I'm cooking my potato soup, a little bit of chaza falls in, I take the chaza out, I still have to reckon, is it both of the shishim or not? So Tosus already on the spot in the previous year highlighted to us that it's very hard to believe that this is a real drasha min haTorah. Because how in the world is the Gemara jumping from min b'mino to min b'she'eno mino? By min b'mino, the rule is you always follow rope. So what in the world does the Gemara mean that this is the source for shishim? So Tosfos throws the hands up and Tosfos says, the whole thing is an asmach to b'yalma, it's not really derived from here. The real shishim was derived, so to speak, in the laboratory. They figured it out, they tested, they experimented, and they came up with the numbers of 60 times is mevalta l'tam. And this was a nice asmachta. When you get the Parshas Noso, and you learn Parshas Noso, and you see the Parshas of El Noso, oh yeah, I remember when you were there. That's like do with shishim, but this is not really the source. There's no way this can really be the source of shishim. Notwithstanding Tosfos's almost dismissal of our sugya, Rashi does not at all seem to say that. So let's take a look at Rashi on the end of the first of the Ramakamos. So Ushnev l'lamdu v'chulei. So v'afo gav the asi l'melef b'nei. Matzis the Melef afilu hechad yoif taima. Says in theory, if you're really, really learning from El Nozir, so you should have been able to learn that shishim is an absolute magic number, and even if it still tastes. So let's say, for example, I have my chaza fell into my potato soup, and I take the chaza out, and I'm pretty sure I have shishim. I do all the testing, experimenting, and I realize I have way more than shishim. So I sit down to eat this potato soup, and lo and behold, that tastes chaza. So Rashi says, that's awesome. No question, that's awesome. Rashi says, why is it awesome? If the Torah says shishim, so shishim is shishim. If the Torah says that it's okay, so why is that a problem? So he says, no, the hachi ikalameima, the ishla b'mino ha'viyarif taima, filu hachi, rabbanon achmor v'omor taima lo batil. Rashi says, sorry, that the rabbis have told us, the rabbanim have told us, the tam is never batil. What you can taste is a problem. So the mice, if you can taste the chazer, doesn't matter if you have a million times, if you can taste it, it's awesome. So notice Rashi's phrase in describing this isser of being able to taste food. I have more than shishim, and everybody knows I can't eat that food past shishim. Rashi said, Rabbanon Achmor. Rabbanon Achmor is a very, very non-diaraisa dikur term. It's a very, very Rabbanon dikur term. What Rashi seems to be telling us is that if you have more than shishim, and you still have tam, then, in fact, you only have a problem with the Rabbanon. Implying that if you don't have shishim, then you have a problem, not Midera, you have a problem with deraisa. Why did Rashi say it's a problem? Where did that deraisa thing a problem come from? It came from Zerua B'Sheila. That means this shia of Zerua B'Sheila is, in fact, a shia of deraisa. Unlike Tosfos, who machta vecting him and says, Zerua B'Sheila, come on, that's a joke. Can't be a deraisa. This is Bimbimino, this is Mimbishino. I mean, the whole thing is not really true, the whole thing is a smachta. Rashi doesn't say the whole thing is the Rabbanan. Rashi says the detail of if you have shishim present and it still tastes, that's a derabanan, implying that everything up to that point was really a deraisa. So this is usually assumed, the later mafarshim assumed that Rashi's shita is that the requirement for shishim may very well be deraisa. The question becomes, how do you understand that requirement of shishim being deraisa? What is that based on? So l'chora, there's only one way to explain it. It has to be based on tam kikar. And why in the world would the Torah tell us that if you have chaza fell to potato soup, why you need shishim in a Torah? Just to make us crazy to measure shishim. Obviously, it's to determine that there is or is not tam there. So if you're accepting the notion that shishim is deraisa, if you really believe that the limud from Zerua B'Sheila is a real bona fide deraisa, so that is tantamount to accepting tam kikar being deraisa, which poses a huge problem because the Rishon, who is most associated with the opinion that tam kikar is only b'derabon, happens to be Rashi. Because Rashi later on, in the parak of a blot from now, Rashi makes a very, very strong case for the whole institution of tam kikar being derabonon. How can you say it's derabonon? Doesn't the Gemara call psukim? We've spoken about this in the past. there are at least three different sources of psukim that the Gemara quotes to support the idea of Tam Kikar. One was the notion of Bas B'cholov. The fact that the Torah speaks about a prohibition of Bas B'cholov, when I cook a piece of meat in a pot of milk and I take the meat out, I can't see the milk. I don't see any milk here. And the Torah says it's still Aser. It must be Aser because the Tam has penetrated, has permeated into the meat. So this is a source for the principle of Tam Kikar. Then the Gemara has another source. The Torah says that when you get pots and pans from the non-Jews, you have to kasher them. What do you have to kasher them for? Because some of the taste inside the walls of the pot is going to potentially trafe up the kosher food you're going to cook. The taste, what is that? I don't see the taste. I don't see anything. Oh, even though you can't see it, but you can taste it. From here you see, Tam Kikar. Then the Gemara is the third source for Tam Kikar. The Torah says that a Nazir is not allowed to take his bread and soak it into wine and then take it out and eat the bread, something that was nishra in wine. What do you mean I can't eat the bread? I don't see the wine. It's white wine. I don't see the wine. Where's the wine? The Torah says, you can taste the wine. Oh, for me, you see Tam Kikar. So the Gemara has multiple sources for Tam Kikar. So Rashi says in Masechet Chulin, you're right. The Gemara has possible multiple sources, and none of them are accurate. None of them really serve as a source for Tam Kikar. Why not? Pasuk B'chov is a Chiddush, and this is a Chiddush, and this is this Pasuk is an Asmacht. Every Pasuk Rashi does away with, don't take this price seriously, and don't take this. Everything is Asmacht. There was something that forced Rashi to say that. Hopefully we'll have to get to that. We'll get to that test in a little, I say a little while. It's a little while in terms of Dafim, but it's a long while in terms of Sugis. So Rashi later on makes a very, very strong pitch for the idea that the whole institution, lock, stock, and barrel of Tam Kikar, is only Midrash Rabbanan. So this poses a huge problem for Rashi and our sugya. Because if Rashi is the biggest believer that the whole institution of Tam Kikar is the Rabbanan, so what do you need Shishim Deraisa for? What's the goal of Shishim if the whole Tam Kikar is only Midrash Rabbanan anyway? So it's, this kasha was so overwhelming that the Maharik, one of the late Rishonim, not just the borderline of late Rishonim, early Achronim, the Maharik threw his hands up and says, the only way to make sense of this Rashi, if Rashi really truly says that Shishim is Deraisa, this Rashi was saying, according to those opinions, that Tam Kikar is Deraisa. Now Rashi concedes that there are opinions out there that Tam Kikar is Deraisa. There are Tanoim who may have held away, there are Maroim for sure held away. So there are Shitas that hold Tam Kikar is Deraisa. Rashi personally is not one of them. So the Maharik is so bothered with this conceptual question. How could you possibly have Shishim without having Tam Kikar? Maharik says that question is so overwhelming that the answer is you can't. So the Maharik is willing to almost textually change Rashi and say, when Rashi and our sugya implied Shishim is Deraisa, Rashi meant, according to that opinion, if you subscribe to that view, which Rashi says, I personally don't subscribe, but if you subscribe to that view, then Shishim would be Deraisa. So we appreciate, we understand conceptually why the Maharik had to say this, but we're having trouble with this textual. It doesn't sound the way from Rashi. Rashi is explaining Pshat and Gemara to say that this line in Rashi was not really what Rashi himself held, so it's very hard for us to accept that. So comes the Chasam Sofer in the third of the Marmakamos, it is Chedusha B'Maseches Chulin, and changes the entire world, changes our entire understanding, the entire relationship between Tam and Shishim. Take a look, that it's the fifth line into the Chasam Sofer. After explaining Shittas HaTosfos, that the requirement for Shishim is only Drabanan, Amnam. But the truth is, says the Chasam Sofer, Shittas Rashi ain't okay. It is clear from Rashi that Rashi's view is that Shishim is very much Deraisa. El Ashir Shishim Deraisa, O Korav Deraisa, I'm not sure what that means exactly, Mizra B'Sheila. It's derived from Zra B'Sheila. The Alfusa Gemuri, it is a real bona fide Rashi. We cannot just put it into the back burner and say, it's a Derabana, it's a Smachta. No. Va'afilu Leika Taima, and even if there's no tam, you require shishim. Oh, afilu ikataima, hatam kikalav deraisa l'rashi. Even though says the Chasam Sofer, I can see that the whole institution of tam kikar is only midrabanan. Mikol makom shishim ba'inon. Listen to what the Chasam Sofer just said in that line. Even though tam kikar is derabanan, you still require shishim. V'yalfusa gemuri mizra b'sheila chashav ha'er mez Hashem. So comes Chasam Sofer with the breakthrough Chiddush number one. He says that the requirement of Shishim is independently true, even in the absence of Tam. Namely, even if you accept Rashi's view that Tamkin doesn't really bother us, it doesn't even concern us, Minat Torah, we still require Shishim. Why is that? This is part of Rashi's theory from last Sugya. According to Rashi, catches that Shishim has nothing to do with Tam. The goal of Shishim is not Tam. The goal of Shishim is, as we used the term last Sugya, it's a sheer bittel. The Torah is kivei, the Torah is geizim. Halacha l'shem kach nemer halacha, derived from Zerubbi Sheila, that Shishim is necessary, even though it's not corresponding to anything. So according to last Sugya we learned, Tosa Shita was, Shishim is nothing. Shishim is just a simple test for Tam. Remember from last Sugya, Tosa said, if you already tested for Tam, the guy already told you there was no Tam, so what are you wasting your time doing Shishim for? Shishim wasn't Halacha Moshe Mesinai, Shishim wasn't Diaraisa, Shishim is not garnished. Shishim is something the Rabbanim made up to figure out, Yetam Anishtam. If there's Tam, there's a problem, Diaraisa, no sin Tam. If there's no Tam, there's no problem. How in the world are we going to know whether there's Tam? So the answer is either you get a goy, or if there's no goy, do Shishim. According to Tosfos, there was nothing spiritual, holy, esoteric about the number Shishim. It had nothing to do with Zerubbi Sheila, nothing to do with Shiurim, Halacha Moshe Mesinai, nothing. It was a simple test in the absence of a non-Jew available to test, do the test of Shishim. That was Tosa's very, very watered-down version of what Shishim is. Rashi, both in the last sugya and this sugya, has a radically different understanding of Shishim. Rashi, in the last sugya, said, I already tasted, and there's no taste, and I still need Shishim. And Rashi over here is saying, and you know, how do I know you need Shishim? Shishim's deraisa, and adds on the Chassam Sofer, and even though the taste test is on a drabonon, It's mamish menafich of Tosfos. Testing for having the guy come in and test it. Minatari, you don't need that. If it is Moshe Rabbeinu Gevalt, I may have time there. Moshe Rabbeinu would wave you and say, who cares? I never heard that Harsina. There's no din of time kicker there, I said. But what you do need to do is bittul b'shishim. Why? Oh, bittul b'shishim. That's Zerub b'shelam. You require a sheer bittul. So you have mamish total and complete extremes in the Rishonim to Rashi and his grandsons, the Balei HaTosfos, as to how do you understand these two halachic concepts of Tam and ascertaining that there is Tam through a goy and Shishim. According to Tosfos, what really, really matters is ascertaining of Tam. That's all there is right now. Shishim is one of those ways of ascertaining Tam when all else fails. According to Rashi, you know, ascertaining Tam, yeah, that's a chumma derabbanan. You want to know what's really deraisa? What's really deraisa is Shishim. It doesn't correspond to anything. You're right. Zerubbi Sheila, don't ask any cash. It's Exeris HaKosov. So two radically different versions of what's going on. So notwithstanding this tremendous chiddush of the Chassam Sofer.
According to Rashi, what are you trying to do about if you don't really care about Tam?
That you don't care about Tam in the sense of that Tam is kikar. It's not going to trafe it up just because it's there, but you're not allowed to eat it by Sheusham. In the state, that's it. Even the ben's gone. The ben, I can't see any ben. Whatever's there, it's the halacha requires any time.
Require that even if it's less than 60.
What?
Require that even if it's less than shishim.
No. So that's the shit. The Torah says at kavla yom. The Torah says once you have shishim, that shishim is the matir. Once you have shishim, that's it. But it doesn't correspond to anything. It doesn't correspond to Tam per se. I mean, it may theoretically correspond to Tam, but Tam is not the game. Tam is not the engine that's driving this year of shishim. That's the breakthrough of the Chassam Sofer. So, notwithstanding this lumdus of the Chassam Sofer, this chiddush gadol of the Chassam Sofer is a tremendous one. This chiddush, because according to the Chassam Sofer, what it does is what would the din be? What would the din be if I had a shaila whether I have shishim? I have a suffix whether I have shishim or not. I don't know. I have no idea. No way of knowing whether I have shishim or not. According to conventional wisdom in Rashi, that's a plain, simple, it's a derabbanan. It's a suffik derabbanan, it's a derabbanan l'kula. But according to the Chassam Sofer, he just elevated Shishim to the realm of deraisa. So this would enter into the realm of a suffik deraisa l'chumra. Maybe it's true, maybe he's right, but we have to test and see, is this Chassam Sofer really, really correct in terms of the Rishonim? So if you take a look at the fourth of the Maamar Kamos, so the Ramban in Maseches Chulin, the Ramban goes b'ikvos haTosfos that this whole sugya is only derabbanan. He says the Ramban, this whole Zerubbi Sheila, lock, stock, and barrel is all midrabbanan. It can't be deraisa. And listen to the proof of the Ramban that this sugya must be derabbanan. Says the Ramban, the greatest support for the theory that this whole derivation from Zerubbi Sheila of Shishim is only the Rabbanan, the greatest source of support is Rashi. Why? Sha'amar the Tam Kikar Rabbanan. Listen to what the Ramban said. The Ramban said, because Tam Kikar is the Rabbanan, How in the world could Shisha be Daraisa? So this line is literally an absolute confrontation to the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer is writing a whole shtickl Torah to show you that that Tam Kika doesn't have to be Daraisa, but Shishim does. The Ramban is Venafichu. The Ramban is being a raya from the fact that Tam Kika is the Rabbanan. You zemen from that. You see from here that the whole thing is the Rabbanan. And just in case you don't think the Ramban is enough for raya, take a look at the fifth of the Maramon Kemis, the Rush. The Rush in Chul and Simon Zayin, Perek Zayin, Simon Lamed Aleph. It's an end of a long, long, long Rush. I gave you the snip of the last two lines. It's about a three-page Rush. The Rush went through all the different opinions about whether Tam Kika is deraisa or not. And at the end of the day, although there were a lot of different variations of the shitas, the bottom line is it was Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi's opinion was that Tam Kika is derabanan, and Rabbeinu Tam said Tam Kika is deraisa. So says the Rush, might have Kamin Ladina, so they have the grandfather and the grandson fighting it out. So they didn't only disagree what kind of tefillah, but your pasha should be. They disagreed about Tam Kika also. Rashi held Tam Kika is derabanan, Rabbeinu Tam said Tam Kika is deraisa. You can imagine the scene of, you know, this the little young grandson, the young Rabbeinu Tam, you know, saying, excuse me, Zaidi, but Tam Kika's gotta be deraisa.
Can you eat at his house?
So this, I think, the inner workings, I can't tell you when each one finished Shabbos either, but so comes the Rush, and he says, when all the dust settles, Fahashta, Lipsakra Benatam, what would happen, Lamaisa, Psakra Lachwandu Benatam, if Nishbacha Reitev, any a day, my Boshishim, if a little bit of a chaza fell in, and now it spilled, and I have no idea, I don't remember how much fell in, I have a big balagan, there's no way of knowing whether I did or did not have Shishim. So says the Rush, according to Benatam, you have a problem. Habisfeki Daraisa, it's no different than any other suffering that Raisa Mesvila, we have to be Machmer. But says the Rush, well, the Psak Rashi, according to Rashi Shita in Chul and Dav Tzadiches, that Tam Kikra has only been the Rabbanon, have a Sveik Rabbanon Vishari, you're good to go. You get a green light, Sveik Rabbanon Lakula. Oh, wait a second, the Chassam Sofer would never have said that. According to the Chassam Sofer, that even according to Rashi, who holds that Tam Kikra is the Rabbanon, but the requirement for Shishim is deraisa. So if you don't know whether you met that requirement, you can't eat the food. You have a suffek deraisa whether you met the requirement, whether you reached that barometer of Shishim. So if the Chassam Sofer is right, what does Tam Kika do about anything? At the end of the day, I have a suffek Shishim, I have a suffek deraisa in my hands. So the answer is it is clear from both the Ramban and the Rush that it was inconceivable to these Rishonim that Shishim could be deraisa in the absence of Tam Kikra being deraisa. That just was a non-starter. So what did Rashi mean when he said Shishim's deraisa? Maybe like the Maharik. Rashi was just throwing out that as an example. According to some opinions, what my personal sheet is, says Rashi, I ain't too blood from now, but maybe, in the world of some Rishonim, maybe Shishim is deraisa. So we have now a few different possibilities on the table. What a take is about Shishim. What do we think Shishim really does? So you can take the extreme view of Tosfos, that Shishim doesn't do anything in that Torah. Shishim was completely and totally instituted by Chazal as a measuring rod, as a barometer. Yes, Shishim, Nish Shishim, yes, Tam, no Tam. There is no halacha Moshe Mesinai, there's no pasuk, there's no derais, there's no dread. The whole thing is asmach to the alma. That was Tosfos' extreme. Then you have two other possibilities to say Shishim's derais, huh? But they branch off to two different directions. There are some who will claim Shishim may be deraisa. If you accept Tam Kikra deraisa, then we can negotiate Shishim being deraisa. That was the Maharik Bidas Rashi. And then you have the Chassam Sofer was the other end of the spectrum, who was saying that not only is Shishim deraisa, but Shishim is deraisa even in the absence of Tam Kikra deraisa. That's a chiddush, a gabi chiddush. But again, as mechudush, as fascinating as the Chassam Sofer is Bidas Rashi, and how it reads nicely into Rashi, it is clear that the other Rishonim didn't accept. It's clear the other Rishonim didn't buy into this idea that the Chassam Sofer is claiming Bidas Rashi. But Chassam Sofer is entitled to his beer in Rashi. We may come back to the Chassam Sofer to show that we may, up to now, we've been almost like negating his sheet, showing the Rishonim doesn't appear. We make the full circle of the sugya. We may find some Rishonim who actually did subscribe to the Chassam Sofer, but we still have a little while to go.
Can you even have an issue to Raisa on something subjective like Tom? Are there examples? I mean, how do you institute something like that?
Oh, very good. Excellent. So the question, it's more of a question, how do you define what Tom is? So the Rashba earlier on had a comment where the Rashba says that he thinks that Tom is measured by what's Tom and Nirgash Adam Beinoni. It means, let's say you have a real connoisseur, a real chef. He can taste the smallest degree. He'll taste a little bit Tom in the food. The Rashba claims the Torah wasn't given to chefs. The Torah wasn't given to experts. The Torah was given to normal people. So the Rashba claims that if it's Tom that most people would taste, that's called the Tom HaKosav HaTorah. If it's a Tom that will escape the taste buds of your average person, that's not a Tom that you have to reckon with. That was the Rashba's Chiddush. That's why, if you remember way, way back, this goes back to September time, we mentioned that the Gemara says that you have to ask a goy, but the Gemara didn't just say a goy. The Gemara says a kfeila, or you have to ask a chef. So the Rashba says, what do you have to ask a chef for? You ask a regular guy in the street, you have to ask a chef for. So the Rashba says, don't tell me you're asking the chef, because only the chef will be able to give you the halakhically valid answer. It's not true, says the Rashba. Any taste that evades the taste of a regular guy in the street is not a tam amatara. So what do you have to ask the chef for? Tosis has other reasons. Because only the chef is trustworthy. Nobody else has a reputation on the line. So you're not asking the chef for his expertise in tasting. You're asking the chef because he's the only one who stands something to lose if he gives you the wrong answer. And not everyone agreed to the Rashba. That's really the answer to the question, that it's not so much subjective, it's within the realm of normalcy. The halacha very often is nikva according to what the normal standards are. If there's a normal standard, that's a problem. It's like l'mashal about David Amin, it's a din hilchas tevila. When a person goes to the mikvah, so they're not allowed to have a chatzitza, and a davar hamakpid is a problem. If it's something that you want to remove, how do you define it? Isn't that subjective? So the answer is, to a certain extent, yes. If something is either objectively a davar hamakpid or subjectively, let's say, for example, most people want to remove this. So even though you're a meshugan and you like this art, that's called a davar hamakpid. Or if most people don't mind it, but you mind it, that's also called davar hamakpid. So whenever I get a call for the mikvah, something's frantic, the woman's about to be tovah, she has something on it, she's having trouble getting water. So I asked two questions. I said, is this something that you personally care about? You would remove this? And then number two, I'll ask, is this something that you think that most people would remove? If the answer to either one of those two questions is yes, we have a problem. If the answer to both the questions is no, then we're okay. So back to that story. So we have three different possibilities as to what shishim is. But up until now, we're talking only within the realm of min b'she'eino mino. That's the taste test. That's what we're talking about. Chaza falling into potato soup. What would the din be if you have tray for chicken soup falling into kosher chicken soup? So on a level of the araisa, it's obviously a moot question. We have rov. Whenever you're dealing with min b'mino, there's no tam anyway. So what's it about? Who would even dream in a million years that you require shishim in HaTorah? No one would have dreamt for that in a million years except for the Chassam Sofer. Comes the Chassam Sofer and Mamish turns the world upside down. Comes the Chassam Sofer and says, in the third of the Maramakamos, the Karav Levadai, it's five lines from the bottom of the Chassam Sofer we just left off. After he just had this first breakthrough, he says, Gevalchet, the Chassam Sofer, all of the Chiddush Chassam Sofer, all from a shiurim that he said in the yeshiva in Pressburg. So he's standing in Pressburg in front of his hundreds of Tamidim, and he's saying this Chiddush, they're still trying to recover from bombshell number one, that Shishim's their rice without Tam Kikar. They're all like, what did Rabbi say? Listen to the next line. The Karav Levadai, it's quite a statement of certainty. He's almost 100% certain. The afilu b'min b'mino, the svirle l'rashi l'rambam l'rayvin, the ba'in and shishim zehunami min haTorah mizra b'sheila. So he says, what? He says that according to Rashi, he throws in a few other rishonim for good luck. According to Rashi, the requirement of shishim is needed min haTorah. Catch this, for min b'mino, there's no tam, there's nothing. It's min b'mino. You know why? Says Chassam Sofer. It's l'shitasi. I just got finished telling you that shishim is an independent entity. It has absolutely nothing to do with measuring tam. Tam is not even a problem in a Torah, and shishim still exists in a Torah. Once you tell me that shishim is not, like Tosa said, a barometer for tam, but it's a shiur bittul, so what's the difference? Where the shiur bittul is b'mino b'mino b'mino. So halacha l'maaseh, if you have a pot of chicken soup, kosher chicken soup, and a little bit of tray for chicken soup falls in, you got to start counting shishim midda araisa, said Chassam Sofer. We all thought that's midda rabbanon, for sure the rabbanon, gezeirot, b'mishenim, and other reasons. No, said Chassam Sofer, the requirement for shishim is midda araisa. So now the Chassam Sofer has a big, 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 big problem, because the Gemara says, black on white in a few places, min b'mino is berov min haTorah. Says the Chassam Sofer, it's not a cash at all. That's yavish b'yavish, and I'm talking about lach b'lach. When you have three pieces of meat on the table, three dry pieces that are not impacting one another, two of them are kosher, one of them is treif, and all the labels are off. I have no idea which is which. Al zeh ne'emar midaraisa chad betrei botel. That is the case of chad betrei botel on a level of deraisa. However, once you start to have tam, once you start to have, I don't mean literal tam, because it's all been bemino, so there's no real tam, but once you start to have lach balach and oozing of tastes, which happen to be the same, so they're irrelevant, says Chazal Sofer, then you have a big problem. Then you have lach balach, and then you require, catch this one, a shiur shisha midaraisa. Absolutely nothing to do with bittul tam, because quite frankly, says Chazal Sofer, according to Rashi, bittul b'shishim, never anything to do with bittul tam, because tam is never deraisa anyway. So it's chiddush number one that was able to give birth to chiddush number two. Because in chiddush number one, the Chasam Sofer took shishim so out of the realm of tam, it's so irrelevant to tam, therefore he was able to go the extra mile and say, and guess what? It's so irrelevant to tam, now it could carry over midaraisa even into min bamino. So now we have our basic three shittas about what the requirement of shishim is by min b'she'eno mino. That was the original question. Either non-existent min ha-Torah, or deraisa according to some, or deraisa according to all. And now you have the Chasam Sofer, who took the most radical approach to the first half of the sugya, now goes even more radical to radical. It's a chiddush of a chiddush, that even by min b'mino it could be deraisa. The Gemara says, Rof, no, that's yavish b'yavish, this is lach b'lach. So notwithstanding this tremendous, tremendous chiddush, it doesn't appear from the Rishonim that this is true. Almost nobody that we heard of has told us in Rishonim that shishim is required for min b'mino on a level of deraisa. That's a startling, startling chiddush. But truth to be told, there may be a Rishon who actually says it. It's very possible that in between the lines, there's a Rishon that actually predated this Chasam Sofer by hundreds and hundreds of years. And the background for this is a sugya that appears, of all places, in the middle of Bava Metzia. Not the place we would normally expect the Akasha sugya. It's a sugya tucked away in the fourth parak of Bava Metzia. The Gemara is discussing there what the Shia Bittel is for multiple different things. We usually think of Chaza falling in, Avelos falling in, Bas Mechola falling in. So the Gemara there is talking about a Mishnah that is comparing and contrasting different shiurim for bittul in higher senses. And the Mishnah there is actually a Mishnah rather than saying Israel. It's talking about different shiurim of bittul for different agricultural problems. I guess it's a good idea. Yom Tu Bishvat. Why not? A little bit of Tluyos Baretz today. So we'll talk a little bit just for a moment about some of the mitzvahs of Tluyos Baretz. I remember when I was in Kerbiavna, so that was the celebration of Tu Bishvat. She would get up and give out briska, lumdish, shia, about truma, spices, bikurim, shmita. So that was the key of Tu Bishvat. In the Litvisha world, that's the celebrate Tu Bishvat. Chassidish world does different things. Litvisha world, they say shir and say this rhyme. So the sugya Maseches Bava Metzia talks about what would the din be if a little bit of truma gets mixed up into your tarovus. What's the shia bittul? So the Mishnah tells the famous shia bittul is 100. Then the Mishnah talks about, and what if you have a little bit of orla gets mixed into your tarovus, then the shia is 200. And what if you have a little bit of kiliyah kerem gets mixed into your tarovus, then the shia is also 200. Everyone has its own shia. And then the Gemara says, and what if a little bit of maisa sheni gets mixed into your tarovus? So then the Gemara says, maisa sheni, that's nothing. That's regular. That's just the regular rules of bittul. Whatever those regular rules a bit low, we're not sure. So the Mishnayos and the Gemara have a whole hierarchy of different shurim of bittul for different agricultural kashrus issues. The Maisa Sheni issue and the Truma issue and the oil issue and the Kilei Keren. Everything has different shurim. Where in the world did any of this come from? Where do we know any of this from? So the Tosos on the 6th of the Marmakomos tells us that the whole story began with the Sifrei Darish. It all starts with the Sifrei. The shiurim appear in Gemara, the shiurim appear in Mishnayos, the Maseches Trumas, the Maseches Oila. So these magic numbers of 100 for Truma and 200 for Olah Kilakerem, these numbers are given. Everybody subscribes to these numbers. But nowhere in Mishnayos, nowhere in Shas Bavli, does the Gemara even raise the question, where did any of these come from? So the Sifrei, written by the Tanoim, has the following drasha. The Sifrei Darish, Mimikdisho Mimenu, the Truma Ola Be'echeru Meya. The Pasuk says in Parshas Korach that you have to separate Truma. Whenever you have Tevel, you have something that grows in Eretz Yisrael, you have to separate Trumas and Maaseros. we have just parenthetically mentioned this in Shulchan Shabbos. There's a lot of vegetables that are coming in the farm, the Newbridge farm, right here in Bergenfield. So they have a lot of peppers from Eretz Yisrael. They have tomatoes from Eretz Yisrael. In Costco, there are clementines from Eretz Yisrael. A lot of stuff flying around Eretz Yisrael. That's a beautiful, wonderful thing. We should support. Hopefully, we should help support the economy, support Achedah B'nai Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. The only thing is that Terumah and Ma'aseh haven't been separated from anything. That nobody in Eretz Yisrael is taking responsibility for the separation of Terumah and Ma'aseh on stuff that's being exported to America. Nobody in America is taking responsibility for the stuff that's coming to America, which basically means that the responsibility rests upon the consumer. Different organizations have tried over the years to try to, it hasn't happened, whatever, I'm still not sure exactly why, but bottom line is there's stuff sitting in the supermarkets within a few blocks of here that is, I could say possibly Tevel Vaday, at least Tevel Misafek. So one for sure has to separate Terumah and Ma'aseh properly, do it out of bracha, just in case somewhere along the chain of command somebody actually did it. But one definitely has to try to separate Terumah and Ma'aseh properly. So comes the Torah and says, when you separate Terumah and Ma'aseh, there's a whole list of things you have to do. You have to do Terumah Gedolah, Ma'aseh Rishon, and Terumah and Ma'aseh, Ma'aseh Sheni, Ma'aseh Ani. It's a whole series of things you have to do. So in the middle of that discussion, the series of psukim, the end of Parshas Korach, how do you do Terumah and Ma'aseh? So the Torah throws a phrase at us, as Mikdash Mimenu, which hopefully we'll see tomorrow, became the suos for everything we're about to talk about now in terms of mixtures and tarobusim and bittel, etc. So we're going to take a little bit of a digression into Seder Zeraim just to get the ABCs to appreciate where this din is coming from. And eventually, this din is going to come back to us to shed some light on the Chassam Sofer. So we're still trying to finish Chassam Sofer, Shtikl Torah, but we're going to have a little bit of a digression into Seder Zeraim before we come back to Chassam Sofer.